Jerry Bader Show, 922. So I shared a story where you can make the case that I could see where I would have drawn suspicion at TSA in the airports. Here is a story, and this is disturbing because even the guy who writes about it isn't sure how he feels about it. This is a story of Jeff Gates. He's a web designer, writer, and artist. They do something, he and his family, every year, vacation on Cape May for their annual vacation to the Jersey Shore. They arrive on the Cape May ferry to the Jersey Shore. He has two daughters, and photographer Jeff Gates has a tradition that a lot of people have had. They take the same picture, a picture in the same location every year of his two daughters. He's been doing this since his daughters were very, very young. Three and, what are they, like 2 years apart? Since they were three, they're only a year apart. 3 and 4 years old. They are now 16 and 17. He's a professional photographer, so he does it the way a professional photographer would. He takes time, and he does retakes and reshoots because he wants it to be just right. So, picture this. You're someone who doesn't know this guy, and you don't know the girls. And you see two young, beautiful girls being prompted to hug each other and touch each other, while a middle-aged man snaps photos over and over and over and over and over again. Based on what I told you right now, would you have any suspicions at all? If you were on that vacation area and you saw a guy snapping photos of a 16 and a 17-year-old girl over and over and over and over again, and they're two beautiful young girls and he's having them hug and so on, would it draw your suspicion? Jason, quick answer, yes or no? Jason says no. Okay, left out a detail. He's white. His two daughters are adopted and they are Asian. And they are two beautiful Asian girls. Now, if you lead a sheltered life, one of the things this conjures up is, as he put it, one of these exotic beauties websites. Okay, Jason, has anything changed for you? Nothing still has changed for you. Let me pick up his exact writing from here. Totally engaged with the scene in front of me, I jumped when a man came up beside me and said to my daughters, "I would be remiss if I didn't ask if you were okay." At first, none of us understood what he was talking about. His polite tone and tourist attire of shorts, polo shirt, and baseball cap threw us off. It took me a moment to figure out what he meant, but then it hit me. He thought I might be exploiting the girls, taking questionable photos for one of those exotic beauties want to meet you websites or something just as unseemly. When I explained to my daughters what he was talking about, they were understandably confused. I told the man I was their father. He quickly apologized and turned away. But that perfect moment was ruined, and our annual photo shoot was over. Only after we arrived at our rented condo did I find out I'd gotten a great shot. As I was telling my wife what had happened, I saw the man again, scanning the horizon with his binoculars. The more I thought about what he said, the more upset I became. My wife and I, both white, adopted our daughters in China when they were infants. Over the years, as a transracial family, we've gotten strange looks and intrusive questions from strangers, but nothing like this. Yet part of me understood what he was seeing. Here was this middle-aged white guy taking lots of pictures of two beautiful young Asian women. Would this man have approached us, I wonder, if I had been Asian, like my children, or if my daughters had been white? No, I didn't think so. So I knew I'd regret not going back to speak to him about what had happened. My wife warned me I might be asking for trouble, but I reassured her it'd be fine. I walked outside to where he was standing and calmly said, "Excuse me, sir, but you just embarrassed me in front of my children and strangers, and I'll listen carefully. And what you said was racist." The man didn't seem at all fazed. He replied, "I work for Homeland Security, and let me give you some advice. You were standing there taking photos of them hugging for 15 minutes. I see. so we didn't fit the mold of what he considered a typical American family. And he thought my picture taking was excessive, possibly depraved. How long should family snapshots take? He thought he was qualified to judge. I told him I was a professional photographer and take lots of photos. My wife's a photographer, he said. I understand. Then you should have known better, I replied. He agreed to consider everything I had said, but he didn't sound very sincere. When I had questions about his observations, he deflected them, hoping to manage my reaction with simple apologies, except they weren't simple at all. He apologized, he criticized, and he apologized again. There was nothing more I could say, nor did I need to hear any more explanations from him. I thought about asking for his name, but instead I just walked away feeling exposed. I had to consider my daughter's feelings as well as my own. My 17-year-old, usually the stoic one, told me she almost cried when she understood what he was asking. All the while, I kept wondering, had he overreached when he approached us, or was he just being a good citizen looking out for the welfare of two young women? Perhaps he was doing what his professional training had taught him to do, look for things that seem out of place and act on those observations. But what is normal and what is not? Even if he thought something inappropriate was taking place, he certainly could have approached us more gently. What a beautiful family you have there, he might have said to me. If the girls had answered, we're not his family, or even looked distressed by his statement, then he might have had cause to question them. Instead, his words were so intrusive, controlling, and damaging, I would be remiss if I didn't question them. A week later, on the ferry ride home, as my oldest and I were walking on deck, I suggested that we imagine the other passengers through this man's eyes. She grimaced but agreed. It was so easy to project suspicious stories onto the white woman trying to grab a black child instead of seeing a mother running after her son. Or to suppose that an old man was taking inappropriate photos of a young girl instead of seeing a grandfather capturing a special moment with his granddaughter. We talked about this as we walked around deck. The world and its suspicions had intruded on our family's vacation as we crossed Delaware Bay. Racial profiling became personal for us that day. And while our experience was minimal compared with constant profiling experienced by others, it left a repugnant taste in my mouth. Homeland Security instructs Americans, if you see something, say something. But at what point do our instincts compel us to act? And when does our fear of getting involved stop us? What causes someone to perceive one thing when an entirely different thing is happening? I've been thinking about this for weeks and have no clear answers. And that is what disturbs me the most. He still isn't sure if the guy from Homeland Security did the right thing. What do you think? In 5 minutes, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. And was that racial or racist profiling? It's 9:30.
The Jerry Bader Show is sponsored in part by American Metal Roofs of Northern...